Thanks for taking the time to download this BBC Radio 5 Live podcast. To search for other podcasts you might like, click bbc.co.uk/5live, where you'll also find our terms of use.
Sergio Aguero opens the scoring.
Brilliant from Harry Kane.
Marcus Rashford.
Welbeck tucks it away.
Brilliant free kick from Dimitri Payet.
Vardy is away and Vardy has scored.
It's the year of the Fox.
Hello, I'm George Riley and welcome to the 5 Live Football Daily. The transfer window kicked into life today as Juventus confirmed the signing of forward Gonzalo Higuain from rivals Napoli for £75 million, €90 million. He becomes the third most expensive player in world football. We can get more on this with Italian football journalist Mina Rizzucchi. Mina, 36 goals in Serie A last season, which was a record. Is he worth that money, though?
Probably not, but them signing him, while he is the missing link to an otherwise great squad, they really do need a great number nine. And they obviously lost Alvaro Morata, even though he was sort of not really a starter last season. They have Mario Mandzukic, who we all know isn't going to be the consistent player that Juventus require. But this is more of a strategic move by the club to assert their dominance, to show you that they're actually back. They suffered a lot from the Calciopoli scandal in 2006, and a lot of people have questioned their reputation, whether or not they can be big again, as big as, let's say, the likes of Real Madrid, Barcelona, United, so on and so forth. And they don't want to be seen as just a selling club. They want to make it very clear that while, you know, they have great players and they might always sell, they're a team that honestly want to chase glory, and they're going to do that and grab the world's attention because they want to raise their commercial assets, and they want people to look at them and fear them like they once did.
That's a lot of money to spend, though. Do we think that might be linked to an impending departure of a midfielder, perhaps, to Manchester United?
Well, this is the thing. They don't actually need to sell Pogba. They have enough money to keep them, to have Higuain and to keep Pogba. Essentially, they will sell other fringe players, but they don't, and they're trying to convince Pogba as much as possible to stay. Now, the player himself isn't that keen on a move. He's always loved Juventus. He feels very at home. He understands that he's the star and the team is built around him, and he's going to struggle to find that elsewhere. He's going to struggle to find the patience that Juventus have with him, because he's still very raw in his talent, one that still needs to be developed. He will make mistakes, and he needs to find a culture that's accepting and tolerant of that. And he's a little bit apprehensive that he can find that elsewhere. Having said that, he's represented by Mino Raiola, who we all know is someone who haggles for his fee, who wants to get paid, who represents some of the biggest players in the likes of Ibrahimovic and Mkhitaryan and more. And he wants this move to happen. And I don't know whether it's for the right reasons. Pogba likes the idea of it just because it's a coming home. He knows Manchester. He feels at home there. But then he also understands that should he stay at Juventus, he has a chance to win the Champions League this season, something that United cannot offer him. Now, according to recent reports in Italy, there are still some details to iron out, but Juventus are not going to budge. They won 120 million, and that's not including Raiola's fees. And should United not agree to that, they're happy to keep him there.
Okay, Mina, thank you. With the latest news there, Mike Calvin listening to that. This is bonkers money, isn't it?
It is. Well, we're in an age now where money is pretty meaningless. I think the broader issue of the Higuain deal is that, you know, money is neutralising competition across Europe. If you look at France and Ligue 1, Paris Saint-Germain, well, it's just a question of how many points they win the league by. Bayern Munich in the Bundesliga, pretty much unchallenged. Juventus now, they've not only just bought Higuain, but they bought Pandit from Roma. So Napoli and Roma, two of their logical rivals, have been severely weakened. So they will dominate their leagues. And it was very there was a wonderful sense of understatement in your interview there, where Raiola, the agent, has his reasons for pushing through the move. I would suggest he has about 18.3 million reasons for doing so, which is in pounds what he will earn, or should we say, what he will receive, because it's a completely unearned sum of money, and as well as being an obscene sum of money, from a transfer which is about almost football geopolitics and economics rather than playing styles and potentials and medals and those things we used to think were important, George.
And loads of reaction as well, Michael, to this on social media. Jordan on Twitter says, 79 million quid for a 28-year-old, football's gone mad. Dave, Juventus just splashed out an obscene amount of cash for Gonzalo. They must soon be getting 100 million for Pogba. Stephen, overpriced, overrated. Paul, for the third, probably fourth best Argentinian striker as well, he says, crazy. And Charlie says, I can't believe that Higuain costs more than Suarez. Well, as we said, the fees don't really matter at the moment, do they? But
well, we're in an age, George, where, you know, 40 million is the new 10 million and 25 million is the new 5 million. And it just shows the incomprehensibility of football's economic structure, where the, again, unearned or largely unearned wealth from a huge inflated TV deal is just being sprayed across the wall and it bounces straight off into the pockets of people like Mr. Raiola.
Right, well, this next one's quite a story. Mamadou Sakho's future at Liverpool has been plunged into doubt after the defender was sent home from Liverpool's pre-season tour of the United States because of concerns, we believe, about his attitude. The French international is thought to have annoyed boss Jurgen Klopp on several occasions over the past week or so. And the defender was given a camera to film part of Liverpool's pre-season tour. This was for the club's YouTube channel. So did Klopp hint at a problem, I wonder, between the two when Saka was filming at Alcatraz? This was last week.
We had a long flight last night, a short session this morning. We could have left Mama Sakho here, because he's filming me while I give the interview here.
I have just one question. Yeah. How long do you think you can live here?
Oh, actually, I don't have to think about it. You should think about it. Because only one of us came late last night. Ah, it was not me. Ah, then it was you, by the way. We are here because we want to leave Mama here.
Clearly a joke at the time, but very, very interesting in hindsight. Let's head to California. Dominic King writes for the Daily Mail and conjoins us now. Dominic, it all started, it seems, last week when, as Klopp says, Saka was late.
Yeah, well, that's the crux of it, isn't it? I mean, you know, he was making things very lighthearted there about being in Alcatraz, but he was late for reporting for the flight, and Jurgen Klopp's a stickler for rules and one thing and another, and that will have been a black mark against them. It's a very interesting story how it's developed. From what we understand, is he hasn't particularly been. He's just given people cause for concern about his attitude, and the club have felt that it's best for him to return to Liverpool. To carry on with his treatment there, because he's got an Achilles problem that means he can't begin the start of the season.
Why did he even go on tour if he's injured?
Well, because Lucas Leiva's also injured, and so is Joe Gomez, and they have been brought out with the squad as well, and it's to do with fostering a team spirit and staying together. You know, Klopp wants everyone together here. You know, he sees these 2 weeks as being absolutely essential in terms of building a platform for the new season, and he wanted everybody involved. And I think, you know, the significant thing here is the fact that Sacco's has been sent home. I mean, Klopp's been religious in terms of saying to everyone, preaching the values of hard work when he's been in training here and being committed and focused on one thing and another. And you know, you have to read between the lines, and a player leaving something that he views as so important so early is, you know, is obviously a big deal.
Five Live Sport.
He serves.
It's an ace! It's gold! Gold! You better believe it! Gold for Andy Murray! Count it down, Great Britain. 3, 2, George is going to do it! Goal for Jay Jones and for Great Britain in spectacular scenes!
He drapes the Union Jack around his shoulders. He actually slows down here. Alistair Brownlee breasts the tape. He wins an Olympic gold medal for Great Britain.
The Olympics, where legends are made. Coming soon to BBC Radio 5 Live.
That's all this time. Thanks very much for listening. Just another podcast to make you aware of. 66, we were there. So Tom Courtney narrates a Five Live Sports special. You'll hear memories from the fans who were at the World Cup final at Wembley on July the 30th, 1966. They give their unique insight and perspective on the day England lifted the Jules Rimet trophy for the first and so far only time. That's available now via the Five Live website.
Berahino shooting and scoring for West Brom.
Sacco scores yet again.
Ushua!
He stays there!
Trademark Peter Crouch.
The full-time whistle has blown. That is a quite stunning result.
On digital and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
bbc.co.uk/5live.